Truth and Power Radio. And Meet Your Karma, the healing power of past life memories. Shelley Kerr is back. Shelley's in her car. Because she's,
yes.
She says it's her home away from home. It's 40 degrees in Dallas. And here, I think we're at least above freezing. So, Shelley, you poor thing.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it was in the 30s the other day. So for us, this is good. So.
Well, okay. The thing is, your book, and we've talked about before, Meet Your Karma, the healing power of past life memories. Now, it's really gone gangbusters. So you've got a lot of interest in this. We'll get into that. But I want to also talk about the other supernatural. And I don't know, for some people, it's normal. And so it's really difficult to call all of this paranormal and unusual and odd, because I think more people are finding out that this is real. And it might be normal for a lot more of us than we realize. Does that make sense to you?
It makes complete sense. Yes.
Okay. Just setting that out there. I wanted to launch that. Did you want to talk about the book first, just to refresh everybody what that's about? And then I also want to say pastlifelady.com. So if you're listening, that's Shelley's one-stop shop for anything you want to know. Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about the book first, because I think that's right now top of mind.
Okay, great. So yeah, I've got a new book out. I've been working as a past life regressionist for 20 years. And I had a book in 2003 called Lightstream that was endorsed by Raymond Moody and Brian Weiss, but I hadn't really released a lot of the case histories that I've collected over the past 20 years until Meet Your Karma came out on February 8th. And I have so many case histories that this book is really focusing in on people who have really, really tough things going on in their daily lives with depression, anxiety, trauma in some cases. And a lot of times I think what happens to all of us, I mean, everything that I talk about in this book, I want to say, you know, first of all, I've used these processes first on myself before I ever worked with others, because I think that life is always throwing things at all of us, and we need tools that we can use to make sense of the craziness that is happening in our lives. And so in this book, the clientele, let's say they've been to the doctor, they've tried medication, they've gone to traditional therapy and on and on and on. And sometimes what happens is, you know, things get stirred up, but they don't ever really get fully resolved. And so I am often, you know, it didn't hurt my feelings, but you know, I'm the last resort for some when they figure, you know, I'm not even into this. I've never thought about this before, but at this point, I'm just willing to try anything. And then they are surprised to learn that sometimes the actual source event of certain issues actually began in past lives and not in the current life. It would be like, you know, we all have gardens or whatever, or even in the lawn, you see a big weed over there. If you just clip it off at the soil line, you're not really getting to it. And so past life regression enables people to actually finally dig down into the roots and pull up certain things and get them fully resolved in a way that other work just simply cannot do. And that's what I found for myself. And that's what my clients have found. And so in the book, I really am a huge believer in self-help, that we need tools. They can't be costing a lot of money. Everybody has to have access to them. So I'm really putting out just really very exactly what I would do with clients in private practice that readers can work through on their own. And anybody who's ordered the book, you're welcome to come up to my homepage on Past Life Lady. There's a form there. Just write me an email, send me a little copy of your receipt, and I'm going to send people a free MP3 recording where I'm actually recording one of the processes for you. But the thing that's awesome, Wendy, is, you know, because of technology, we've got all these free phone apps. And so one of the things I've always recommended to people in all the books that I've put out over the last 20 years is that your subconscious mind really loves the sound of your own voice. And so these processes in there, I think the best way to do it is just get a little app on your phone, just read the scripts that I've got for you, and then just go slowly through the processes, just with the understanding that, unfortunately, you know, we can't just wave the wand to make it all go away. I mean, if we're still alive in a body, we're working on ourselves all the time. And so I'm hoping that the processes in here are something that people can just you know, do them when they need them, maybe come back to them in a year or whenever they need them throughout their lifetime to help, you know, bring more peace, bring more happiness. And, you know, in the case of myself, I know that these things have really helped me make sense out of this crazy place that we're living in right now. So that's kind of what it's about.
I want to ask you in just a minute about the allergies, but first, in terms of doing something and putting it audio and then repeating it to yourself, there are other factors that are happening when you're doing that, because for one, you're imprinting. And not only are you imprinting from this, I'm putting something down that's concrete that I can refer to, revisit, reconsider, but also, and remember, there's the tone of your voice, the frequency of your own vibration. And as you're doing this with intent and with an involvement, you're really investing in this, then you're saying, I want to do this. You're making a commitment. So you're committing not only physically, but mentally, and then on that other level of subconscious. So when you revisit it, you said, I have agreed to this, and I've basically set up a contract. So there's a lot more going on than just putting something on tape. Hey, I'm going to record something. It has more to do with you intentionally stepping into this program and starting to reformat your hard drive, so to speak. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense, because you're investing the energy. The time is the energy. Time is the most valuable energy that we have. It's much more valuable than money. And when you invest the time in it, because, I mean, that's what people have to realize. I mean, I think people, I'm very positive, just like you are, but it doesn't mean that we haven't had hard times in our life. But I've spent a lot of time, as you have, working on myself. And the more time you put into that, you know, the more rewards you receive. And I used to hate the sound of my voice. I couldn't stand it. If I had to listen to myself, like listen to this show back once it's recorded, I would just be like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. But over the years I've come, it's an aspect of self-love or something. Just accept who you are. And I think you're exactly right. Your soul, when you are working with yourself, it's a kind of nurturing that you can give yourself. And it's a kind of love that you're giving yourself that no one else can give you.
I think part of it too is the fact that it's in some way, shape, or form, a way of a code that you're remembering things that you're not even speaking about. And like you're talking about the past life memory, that as you continue to visit this and as you continue to practice, you're awakening that higher dimension of yourself saying, hey, whoa, what's here? And coming back to that present moment of knowing, you've just expanded your awareness on multiple levels without even knowing or trying. And that's how this works for me anyway.
I completely agree with that, because I think people are surprised to hear that the very first time I tried to have a regression, I just saw a very brief flash of something. And it was 10 years before I ever got more insight into that. And I believe that the processes in this book, exactly as you've described there, it's like, it would be like going to the gym. You don't just go to the gym and run 5 miles on the treadmill. You have to start by walking, and then you walk a little faster. Then maybe you go a mile, you go 2 miles, and you build up to that. And every time you go into this, you're peeling back the layer. You're telling yourself, your subconscious mind and your soul, hey, this is a safe place. And the other aspect is, when you're doing this with yourself, you know, there may be things you don't want to talk to anybody about because they're very personal. So you're in a safe place with yourself, and you're getting to know yourself, you know thyself. That was what was over the door at the Oracles of Delphi for a reason. So, and it's very, very, very powerful. And it is a code. You're exactly right.
The other thing, I'm going to go back now to the allergies, because you were talking about this. You practice these things on yourself to see how it works for you. It may work for different people differently, but at least giving a template for it starts the process. So in referring to your allergies, how did that work?
Oh, I was telling Wendy the other day, I wrote her an email. I just wanted to talk about an analogy that I've had this recurring allergy where my eyes are, you know, in Texas, we have a lot of allergens. I've never experienced allergies until I moved here. But from time to time, there's just nothing you can do. My eyes puff up and I look like a creature from the sci-fi channel. Okay. It's very unhappy. And I do everything I can. So, you know, I was at the doctor. I mentioned it. You know, they gave me some cream. So, you know, I can put, and, you know, I'm using sensitive skin cleansers on my face. But the other day, I work out like a couple times a day, and I switched gyms about a year ago. So I used to sit in the steam room all the time and steam myself. And so I was always opening my pores and getting toxins out of the body. probably from my days in the Roman bathhouse in a past life. I don't know, but I'm obsessed with it. So I, you know what I'm saying? Just living the past lives as usual. And so I moved gyms and we have a dry sauna. I don't like it. So the bottom line is I just don't go in there as much. So a couple of days ago, before I had to go out and do my book launch for Meet Your Karma, I had gone into the sauna, but I didn't really stay in there that long. And sure enough, the day before the book launch, my eyes are back to looking like the Sci-Fi Channel again. And then after, yeah, I managed to, you know, cover it up with the external creams and I got over there. And then the following day I went and something was just saying, sit in the sauna. And it doesn't matter if it takes 45 minutes, you're going to sit in there until you feel this, you know, your pores opening up and things actually coming out. And sure enough, I felt 1,000 times better. And then it just occurred to me that this is a really nice metaphor for what happens to people in trauma. Like, I think that, you know, challenging things happen to everyone. They've kind of shaken you to the core or they've upset you. And certain things that we go about our daily business, they trigger things and they bring them up to the surface. So it feels agitating emotionally. But if we never really take the time to dig into the source event and open things up and let them fully express themselves and come out, then we will never be relieved from that. Because I don't have this problem now. And I think that one of the things that the Meet Your Karma book is really focusing in on is the idea that there are guided journeys in there where we're going to go back to the source event of where the soul first felt anger, sadness, guilt, anxiety, fear. Because if we don't ever go back to the source event, the relief that we're looking for will not be found. And I think that people are largely terrorized and I've been right in that same place myself in the past. Like, you're afraid to express your emotions because you're afraid that if you pull the lid off this thing, something very horrible is going to come out and you won't be able to stop it. But the truth is that the exact opposite is true. When you let it out, you finally take the time, like I had to sit in a sauna for literally about 50 minutes. It sounds crazy. But just letting it all out, letting it fully express itself, then it's not in the body anymore. And then the body begins to feel a lightness, brighter and lighter and just refreshed. And then this is the thing that then would create more space within the physical body so that, you know, disease, unhappiness, anxiety, depression, and all these other things to me are an expression of something's inside. It wants to come out and it's just not quite ready to punch through the barrier yet. And that's when these tools can come in and can transform your life for the better.
Well, part of that too is you're listening to your own guidance. All right. Because you were saying, do this. Well, that's a completely different source for that.
Yes, we all have a higher self, and I believe in guides and angels as well, I think as a lot of people do. But the higher self, you know, the soul knows what it needs, but I think that, again, maybe we're distracted by technology, we're afraid, some part of us is afraid, we don't want to look at those things because we just want them to go away, and so we just continue to push them down, and go about our daily business, and we can do that, you know, for a certain amount of time, but eventually that is going to start rearing its ugly head, whether your eyes are swollen, you look like a Sci-Fi Channel monster, or whether you're feeling depressed or anxious. These are like symptoms that are saying, hey, slow down for a minute, listen, or take the time to get this stuff out so that this will no longer be a challenge.
What I like, and part of this, it has to do with just listening and paying attention, is that as you do that, your life changes. And there are people who come up to you who might not have even shown any interest before, or opportunities that come to you that weren't there. And you might have already tried, and all of a sudden this new adventure pops up like, wow, what happened? And all it did, what I believe and the way I work it, is you changed your point of reference. And so you are now drawing and attracting other things to you that are more in line, alignment with what you have become. They always, you know, they're talking about put the vibration out that you want to receive in terms of abundance. You know, think that you're already abundant. You're already bringing it in. And so you're already on that level. Well, that's the truth of this, is when you start thinking and changing your thinking and resonating that this is, I'm healed, or this is, I'm smart. I know the answers when I need them. I meet the right people, the people I need to connect with, and they may not match what I visioned that this is how it's going to be. Instead, it's like totally unexpected in a way, a surprise, and exactly what you need. And I think identifying past life blocks helps you get rid of things that might have been a projection or a bias of some kind, in my opinion.
You know, you make a great point, because the positive self-talk, I mean, that's definitely one of the sections in the book as well, is that we do need to create meaningful, positive affirmations for ourselves that maybe are a reflection, not of how things are right now, but of how I know that they will be, and stating those in the present moment. I am abundant. I'm healthy. I talk about like mantras and how we can use our own self-created mantras. And the one that I've always used for years is, I am healthy, body, mind, and spirit. I am healthy, body, mind, and spirit. I'm healthy, body, mind, and spirit. Maybe today I'm not feeling so well. I don't know, but I'm going to say that mantra. And I know that that has pulled me out of, you know, certain conditions, let's just say. And so sometimes it's like you're faking it until you make it, and you're trying to go inside the body and feel the feelings of what it would feel like to have the thing you want. And so using that along with some of these other processes, like you said, I mean, you're building a deep trust within your own soul. You're also, yes, you're vibrating at a different level. So therefore, just like the law of attraction's been teaching us, when you start to change those things, exactly what you're talking about, all of a sudden, all these cool people are coming up, you're having these miracles. And if you, the more you notice the things that are happening to you, like you said, then the more things will happen that are good and nurturing. And then eventually you get to the point where you're like, I'm transcending my karma, because I've been down in the dumps. It was horrible. And now I'm learning from that. And I'm finding that I'm meeting other people who are now going through the thing that I went through, and I can help them now. And so I'm creating a dharma and learning from the things, which is why we're all here in this place called Earth anyway. And then you're able to really help other people and create complete miracles in your life on a regular basis.
What I think about this is so fascinating is that in some ways it's really simple, yeah, and but it's a language that we have to get used to. And that it's still, I mean, I think this has been happening for years, hundreds of years, that people have been discovering these kinds of techniques and nuances and brilliant ways of connecting the higher plane with this practical everyday linear plane that we work in, that we call reality. That's like, you know, just turning on the faucet and getting a small stream as opposed to channeling the ocean. This is something I think when we are fully aware of how our actions and the whole bucket full of actions, past life, present, and potential future, is all wrapped up in this moment of being focused and attentive to the details that sometimes we discount. And I'll bring that back into focus by, as I'm trying to do this conversation, I have my microphone on. I turn it off when the dog and cat are starting to have boundary issues, because the cat has just come from outside and wants to come see me. I have a plate of food behind me that the cat is curious about. So as the cat jumps up, managing to do a detour around the dog who's growling, I turn off the mic. He jumps up. I'm distracted trying to corral the two, and he walks across my computer, puts a paw. And I'm like, I get a note from the producer saying, we're having mic issues. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's really the light. And you're in your car. I'm thinking, you know what? There's a little peace somewhere in this world. But okay, so those are the distractions.
You know, I love you, Wendy. You are so wonderful. You are my favorite person to talk to. I just want to put that out there. You are a real joy. And, you know, you're having dog problems. Well, you know what? We're all catering to our animals. And, you know, they know who's in charge.
Oh, as man.
We keep it in mind. I think it's good.
That's the thing. This is the real life stuff that we deal with, that we're trying our best to do whatever it is and give our focus. And yet life happens. And so these are minor little derailments. Okay. But it's that thing of every single day, as we come into contact with other people, there may be 20 billion things that they are trying to respond to, focus on, past life, present life, daily irritants, something that's happened that's wonderful. And then they have to remember, oh, I'm talking to you. Oh, and where does that fit? And where do I connect? And we don't realize how fantastically brilliant and in some ways miraculous just having these encounters every day are, with all of the potential distractions and all of the potential, quote, real life that goes on around us, that we're so fortunate to be able to make a connection with another human being and to understand that this is all a part of our growing awareness as we evolve and grow our own spiritual self. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. And one of the things you mentioned was that theoretically, some of this stuff is actually incredibly simple. And then I think that we are all the ones that are trying to put definitions on things. And we're trying to make things about 1,000 times harder than what they actually need to be. I went to that. I talked earlier on this program about when I locked myself up in the Buddhist temple last April, you know, and there's only one direction. It's called breathing in and out of your nose. Okay. I mean, can you not? And I'm thinking, my God, this sounds like a drag, you know, but there's nothing boring about focusing on your breathing. It sounds boring, but it is incredibly difficult because, like you said, there's just so many other thoughts bubbling up from the subconscious. And in waking life, when we're out in the real world, you're exactly right. Don't get me started about how many times my cat's knocked on the door during a private session or started. Oh, not this cat, but his predecessor would go, you know, I'm like, mommy is trying to work in here. Okay, come on. I'm trying to act like a professional.
Well,
yes, I understand.
Yeah. That brings humility back into the, that brings humility back into the equation. You understand that we all have things that, that make us feel small while we're trying to do our great work.
I think this is very good for us and very humbling. We need to keep a perspective on it.
Well, I want to go back into the breathing through your nose, because what I would like to point out that there are people who say, you know, I meditated for 50 years or 20 years or 25 years, and they had not had the same response that somebody had when meditating for the first 20 minutes. Anything can happen when you are meditating, when you are focusing and centering, because each of us comes in here with a different program. And it may be that I agreed prior to incarnating that when I started my meditation practice, I would remember why I was here. And only when I agreed to start that practice would it come to me. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen ever. And so, and it may be that when I jumped my first hurdle, when I signed my first contract, when I bought my first house or met my first companion, these things would open. And so every single day when we're doing going through our lives, there's that moment of potential where the first time I do something, I might hit the jackpot. I might hit the jackpot. But if I don't ever take that risk, if I don't respond to that challenge and take the, and we identify courage with some big, gigantic, ginormous, infinitesimal, huge thing. Sometimes it's a courage to step out your door in the morning and say, what's next? And it's the courage to get out of bed and face the day and say, something out here is waiting for me in the most glorious and fantastic fashion. And I'm going to show up for it. I don't know what it is, but darn it, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And I know it's there. And so in terms of breathing in and breathing out, what might happen? Anything is possible. That's why I wanted to say it can, that's the thing. It's simple. It's really simple. We just don't know what it is.
Yes. Yes. The big thing that Buddhists are trying to get across is that when we're breathing, I mean, that's, it's just in this moment. And there would be times while meditating, like you get uncomfortable and something starts to hurt. And they're just asking you to stay still while you experience the pain and just go into it. Don't run away from it, but just observe it. And then notice that eventually it starts to dissipate, because everything in life is transient. Everything is flowing and moving, and nothing is going to stay the same. And then it starts to, on a more experiential level, show the meditative practitioner that, you know, we can get through the tough times in life. And in Meet Your Karma, I've got certain kinds of breathing exercises for people to do where they're more focused, where we're going to count the breath, count in 4 and exhale 4, just the same way, you know, you would do in a good yoga class, just to bring a little bit of awareness into the actual breath. And yes, I think the problem also is that people, they don't want to get started on even thinking about meditating, because they think, okay, if I'm not in the lotus position and if I can't clear every single thought out of my mind, then this isn't going to work. But actually, nothing could be further from the truth, because you do think. There are distractions. You're not supposed to beat yourself up. All you can do is just the best you can. It's just about attempting to close your eyes and just attempt to focus. If I can focus for 1 minute today, that's great. Maybe tomorrow I can try 2 minutes. And just like everything else we're talking about, that it's a journey. I had to learn this as an Aries. I'm very impatient, but guess what? It's a journey. And it starts with one step in one foot in front of the other. And it is easy. It's the most difficult, easy thing that any of us will ever do. I mean, let's face it.
Come back to that. Okay. Okay. Now we're going to take a break here, but I wanted to bring back, because this is how I connected with you. It wasn't the past life lady. It was the beyond reality, evidence of parallel universes. And I'm like, whoa, this is really a cool book. And then I'm calling you going, well, yeah, you know, I do past life stuff. What? And then I find out that's what you're about. It was the parallel life thing was just kind of one of those things where you were taking a side trip and saying, these things all factor in somehow too. And I want to get, because that brings this non-corporeal, what we, you know, sometimes call supernatural, paranormal. It brings that element into play. And I think it's just something we haven't been able to define yet. That's all it is. It's a part of our natural ability, our natural knowing, but we're disconnected because we have so many distractions through the entire day, through our lives, that say this is more important. Like everybody has to get a card for Valentine's Day. Everybody has to go out and do a certain thing for, you know, a certain type of whatever we've agreed to on the consensus, this, you know, manifest plane, that this is important. We observe these holidays and everything happens on this holiday. And it's like, wait, but what happens to life in that moment? Okay. So we've manufactured something special when the real special is right here, front and center. So that's why I wanted to get back into the parallel universes and bring you into that equation of what's going on here that is even more fascinating than this other stuff that we call reality. Okay, Shelley? Are you on board?
Great.
I know. You're good. You're a good sport. It's like, yes, we'll go anywhere. That's the Aries. Okay. And it's conscious living. I'm going to put, I'll put some of this on the Wendy's Coffee House blog. Okay. Just so we can catch up with links and that kind of stuff. In the meantime, though, there's so much going on right now and epiphanies and expansion and awareness right in the midst of all the crisis. That's what makes life fascinating and fun. Back in a few. Conscious living on Empower Radio.
You're listening to Empower Radio, an entire radio station devoted to your personal development, expanding your conscious awareness, and empowering positive change. Meet our hosts and listen online at EmpowerRadio.com, on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes, or download the Empower Radio app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free in the App Store, and it lets you listen to our shows and podcasts on demand. Empowering people, empowering change. Empower Radio, online at EmpowerRadio.com.
Think you could easily get to your family if a disaster struck right now? Think you can wing it during an emergency because you're a New Yorker? Most parents don't realize that protecting your family starts long before an actual disaster strikes. It starts today by being prepared and making a plan.
To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. In this online tool, you'll be faced with real-life challenges, teaching you the importance of being prepared for a disaster.
Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a Labish Terrier Hound Chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle, simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm looking at the pictures here. Shelley just had a book signing for Meet Your Karma, and so I think I can share a couple of those on the website. But Past Life Lady, that's what you're going to check into to find out all the information about Shelley. And we were talking about the new book, but we're digressing from the karma and going to Beyond Reality, The Evidence of Parallel Universes. Okay, and there was one where you were talking about a past life, or not a past life, but a vision or a dream that involved Africa. And can we launch right in there? Because this is where the dots connect.
Yes, absolutely. I think readers can expect in the future that there will be finally a follow-up book to Beyond Reality, because I have more to say about it now than I did when that book came out in 2005 or six. I believe you're talking about the dream I had that I was in an African tribe.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the one? Okay.
Yes, yes.
It's hard for me to remember, Wendy. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. I was out of the blue.
I had dreams that I was in a circle with an African tribe, and we were just playing our instruments and dancing. And along those lines, I found a lot of peace more recently in my life, doing a lot of Zumba classes, and I even do hip hop and all kinds of dancing classes. I think there's something really healing and powerful about dance. And at the time, after these dreams started happening, I had the opportunity to go to South Africa on a safari, and I met some people there they were some tribal ladies. I bought some jewelry from them and things. And I just felt a real kindredness there. And there was something about just putting my feet on the ground over there that I feel like the soul is like, at least for me, I don't know. I've been very fortunate that I've been able to travel different places, but I feel that I'm spiritually called to go certain places. And that when I put my foot on the ground in certain places, it's almost like a piece of the puzzle that had been missing before kind of pops itself back into place. And so everywhere I go, it's like getting an energy healing. And I think this is kind of what Edgar Cayce was talking about as well. When he would give people past life readings, he wanted them to use gemstones and place those on the body, because not everybody can go traveling around all over the place. And I think when we lay stones on that come from different parts of the world, it's kind of in essence doing the same thing. But yeah. I found a real healing in Africa, and it just, I don't know, it made me feel a calm peace that I have, I felt that in other parts of the world, but particularly there. And I think that in the dream world, even if we're not having an actual past life regression, we're receiving all kinds of dream imagery and feelings and thoughts. And a lot of times people will, describe to me their dreams. They want me to tell them what I think of their dreams. And a lot of times it does feel like they are simply recalling past life memories and these things, just the same way they would in a private session. If these things are coming up in your dreams, they're happening for a reason. The soul, I think that's when the soul dips into the area where the veils are thin and tries to speak to us about who we were in the past and helpful ways that we can tap into our spiritual gifts, or just a remembrance of in this case, a place that I deeply loved and that by the grace of God, I was able to reconnect with in this lifetime.
What I believe in terms of parallel realities is that they're all around us all the time, but we're not always tuned in because, again, we are distracted by this physical plane and by our obligations or whatever community assignments that we have agreed to. And what happened when I was making a huge, very dramatic change in my life in 2009, I started experiencing parallel realities and different happenings that I had spiritual guidance saying, this is what's going to happen. Not that they would tell me how it would play out, but just to give me a clue that I would be prepared. And one of the things they told me when this shift switch happened was, do not telegraph. In other words, whatever I was going to be doing there, don't say, oh, this is new for me. Wow, I didn't know this existed. You know, just be quiet and pay attention and be present and let it happen and unfold so that I could step back out of it. And at one point, there was a morning when I knew this was a shift was going to happen. And my experience that day was that the cars in my suburban area were only black, white, and silver. There were no colors. There was no red, no green, no yellow, no other colors. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was supposed to spend the time doing my normal daily routine of whatever it was. And everything was different. Lights were burning out. People were talking about different kinds of things. And I could see how in that state, how they were reflecting their own reality. Twilight was a very big, very popular show at that time. And there were people in little circles gathering, talking about this. And I could see their lifestyles reflecting the media that they were tuning into. This was just one of the many things I had happen. But in 2009, because I had made a dramatic change in my life circumstances, all of a sudden I was allowed to see other things of our own world, that how we shape our reality by our thoughts, our actions, our intentions, our presence, our awareness. And when you make the determination, the decision to do, like you said, breathe in and out through your nose, focus on one thing and change all the stuff that you've been giving your attention to, you can change your life in a moment, in a fraction of a second. Because what that showed me, that experience, and yes, I stepped out of it, I didn't telegraph, I was like, OMG. And I'm still processing it, okay? So that part of it is that parallel realities, parallel universes, alternate universes, for me, exist. So my experience now is open to other types of information, because I have had that up close and personal reality in my life. So that's why I thought I wanted to bring this up, because as you're doing past life karma, there may be other things that go along with that that you're not aware of until that memory, that dream, gives you a chance to reconcile it. And I believe dreams are a way of reminding you of where you've been, where you're going, and what's happening in ways that we are accessing without feeling, and I think with feeling a fear or apprehension, because it's a dream, it's familiar. At least that's how they happen for me. And I have to always qualify that, because each of us is unique.
To your point there, I mean, I see that one of the things that we can say about past lives is that we, you know, all time is actually happening right now. We're starting to actually have that proven to us. So even in the dream world, or if we have waking visions, like this experience I had in the African circle was so real that I believe, yes, that it was happening simultaneously to my current existence. Was it a vision of a past life, or did I just travel there spiritually to be with these people? And then I went over to Africa to energetically connect with the land. You know, we don't really have any way to know, because we still don't fully understand where these dreams are coming from. But there's been lots of cases that I've had, and I'm sure you've had, and listeners out there, where you have dreams and they're forewarning you about things, or they're, you're connecting with people who you haven't met in real life yet, and then you end up meeting them, and just all kinds of serendipities that can happen through that. Because the truth of it is that time is some kind of an illusion. So for me to even say I'm taking you into a past life, the truth is, to get the most out of this, there could be a higher understanding of the fact that these things are happening simultaneously. And that's the reason why the healing is so powerful. Because when I go into this supposed past life and send healing to people who lived hundreds of years ago, that ripple ripples through all of the cosmos and creates a healing in my body today that is very, very transformational, and it's real.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Changing.
In terms of other people happening to it, Whitley Strieber's new book, he's talking about visiting a Native American reservation where everything is there's a lot of poverty and a lot of lack and a lot of just complete, and in so many ways, disrepair and just everything falling apart. However, as he's going there, he has this other reality that he's stepping into, and he's seeing the rolling plains, and he's seeing mountains on the horizon. He's seeing the road go a different way. And the road that he's on is paved, but the road he's seeing isn't paved. And it seems to be a simpler time and there are fewer buildings. And he's like gobsmacked because he's experiencing duality. Basically, he's experiencing one reality and another reality as he's going forward in the car. And then as he's said, he experienced it the entire time he was there. And as soon as he left, it stopped. He's like, wow, what happened? Now, I know other people who have experienced, my husband has had the same kind of thing where he's been taken from one reality to the other. And it's just, it doesn't in any way, shape or form factor into what we call in this reality real. And yet you have experienced it and it changes you. It just changes your whole perspective and your whole way of viewing the world and the potentials that we have yet to align with as we learn more about what our consciousness is trying to show us. I think that comes through your work.
I think Whitley's story is fascinating, and it really is very reminiscent of a lot of the case studies in Beyond Reality. One of the most interesting ones was I was speaking at, I guess this was something that happened after Beyond Reality came out. I put a follow-up book out. I was taking people on these parallel universe journeys, and this was after 9/11. One guy in the audience said that he traveled to a place in a parallel universe where the events of September 11th in the World Trade Center did not happen. And so I was interviewing him about, well, what was different there? And he said there were different, like in the collective consciousness, there were just a few different changes of thinking that were made, but that there was still kind of like I was talking about earlier, like sometimes when horrible things happen, that might just be the expression of some energy that kind of needs to be released, even though that was a horrible way for that to happen. But there was still some undercurrent of tension there that just hadn't quite expressed itself, but that in this vision that he saw, the Twin Towers were still there. Mm-hmm. And so I've just always found that kind of kind of fascinating, really. To say
well, with all the trauma, with when you have tremendous tragedies, you also have these incredible instances of healing. And I mean, you know, healing, multiple ripples of healing, because it's needed. And all of a sudden, there is a crisis that brings people together. So with even the negative fallout that we see as inconvenient or unnecessary and traumatic, the healing that comes forward and changes people's lives from that, I think, on a greater pattern or a greater format, also brings through that we have so much more that we have yet to tap in our abilities to be compassionate and to be loving and to be caring and to be in some way, shape or form, acknowledging that everybody out here is a part of us as well, no matter what their background, no matter what their ideology, we are humans. And that's what draws us and joins us together. And I think that's what this ET thing is happening right now, is saying, okay, you guys have passed certain points of your progress. Now deal with this one. Okay. now this is come together and figure out how this is going to work, because each of you is dealing with it alone. But when you come together and realize that you have a lot of common factors and common elements, there might be some similarities that can help you solve this puzzle. And right now it's a tremendous puzzle. And so I see that as part of the karma of where we've come from to where we're going that creates more challenges and more growth.
I think you and I talked about this before we got on the air today, but despite whatever is going on when we watch the news or in our world, I still, and I think you feel the same, I still have a really good feeling about where we're heading. I feel like we're in the middle of a major shift in consciousness. And regarding aliens, yes, of course, I believe that more people are starting to accept that, because I do believe that beings from other dimensions are assisting us and helping us make this shift. And that despite outer appearances, there's some really good change happening. And it's going to yield, I believe, an outcome that we all love.
Well, and I think that part of it is that everybody has to approach it on their own level of knowing. And this is why we keep talking about it. And I love that, you know, the work that you do brings this topic back to center, back to focus over and over again on many different levels, so that wherever somebody's comfortable, if they just want to meditate for a couple minutes a day and see how that calms them, or, you know, changes their mental perspective, that's okay. If they want to get into it 7 days a week and, you know, go into a silent retreat, that's okay too. Everybody has a unique way of evolving and manifesting their purpose here. And I think we're beginning to see the value of having these unique opportunities presented in very unfamiliar forms to say, what's real? What's real? And it isn't real for everybody. That's what the challenge is. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that until you pointed it out. Thank you. So you're pointing things out. And with past life karma, that's another way of looking at what else is real here and how do I need to get beyond what I thought was a boundary or a barrier. And you just took a sauna.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It happened. The other thing I guess I wanted just floating in that I want to mention is I've noticed when I got to these shows lately, there's a lot of young kids who come and they're really tuned in, like in ways that, you know, it seems like they were born with this awareness, which is really cool. And they're very curious and I feel like the younger generation is really starting to have these inspirations and without the fear barrier of actually acting on things that are going to start to create some really exciting things as we move into the future that I'm just feeling very encouraged about.
Okay. Now you want to get into any of the interesting stuff that's happened to you, but just, you know, like recently that you said you were okay. Okay.
Yes. I do want to get into all that. Yes. There's never enough time here. Okay.
I know.
Ta-da!
Just a tease.
A tease. Okay. Yeah. I was telling Wendy, friends who are listening, that I wrote her an email the other day. I had my book launch for Meet Your Karma on February 12th. And I was mentioning to her that February 12th is a very significant day for me as a past life regression therapist, because there's many reasons why I became a regressionist. I was introduced to regression in childhood, but as an adult, many, many years ago, I'm not going to name the exact date to, you know, to protect privacy of the people who are involved with this, but on February 12th, many, many, many moons ago, I had been invited to go on a hiking expedition and I couldn't go that day. And one of my dear friends was killed in a hiking accident that day. And about a month after his death, I saw his ghost in the window of my home at the time. And he was wearing a white tank top with some jeans. This was never explained to me. Many, many years passed, and I was living in Denver, Colorado, and I began to have supernatural experiences where I smelled his cologne. I had some other weird things happen, too many things to name. And I started, and I was in therapy at the time, in a traditional therapy, because I'd been going through a divorce at the time. Mm-hmm. And in Colorado, there's hypnotherapists pretty much standing on every street corner. So my actual traditional therapist, everybody in Colorado is super open-minded. And she said, you know, you probably need to have a past life regression. So I went to a woman I knew. I had a past life regression. And I found out that I had known this friend of mine in many lifetimes. In the 1800s, he was my wife. Him and the kids were killed when I went out to hunt or whatever I was doing. And I had a vision of just coming home to find them. And it was more like just snapshots.
Right.
Rather than a full movie, because it was so traumatic. And then at the turn of the century, I lived in the East Coast somewhere, and I was a little girl. I had a sister, and our dad was like a shoe cobbler. Our mother had got sick and died, and the mother, before she died, said, hey, take care of your sister. Of course, he was my sister. He died of this flu or whatever this was, and I had this guilty feeling. And then in 1942, I was born, and I went to a vision where I was in a room with curtains drawn, and I could see that I was being born, and my mother died in childbirth, and of course he was my mother. So this is all in my book Lifestream, Journeys into Past and Future Lives, the one that came out in 2003. Mm-hmm. And in the book I talk about this whole story, and I do a seminar on that. So several years later, after the book came out, I was out on the circuit because this is the book that Brian Weiss had endorsed and Raymond Moody. So we do this class, I'm telling the stories, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to take you on this guided journey that's in the book. And so the minister in the front row of this church that was near where this all happened, he gets up and he goes, he had this weird look on his face, it was very disturbing. And he said, Shelley, I don't know if I need to tell you this or not, but I'm telling you that several years ago, I was out at this place that you were telling me about, And I was camping with a friend and some guys came up on horseback and said, hey, we've got a hiker down. Could you please come help us? And believe it or not, the minister in the church that I was guided to go to had held my friend as he took his dying breath on the mountain that day. Wow. And I came back from that break and I told everybody in the audience, and people's mouths were dropping open. And they still do when I tell this story, because that's what people need to understand. The things I talk about, they may sound crazy to you. It's like what you talked about earlier. We are all having spiritual miracles if we pay attention to them.
Yeah.
But to the best of my ability, I am telling you the truth as I have perceived it. And so after this, because February 12th then became such a significant event over the years, from time to time, I would just notice supernatural weird things happening. I hadn't thought about this literally in years, and I realized that I needed to book some space for my book launch, and the only time I could do it was on the 12th. I started saying, OMG, February 12th, this is a good day to do this. Mm-hmm. I think I'll do it. Well, you know, I need a 2x4 in the head, just like all of us. So I show up. I bought, believe me, friends, you have no idea. So I bought a bouquet of Mylar Valentine's balloons, put them in my car. I was going to take them inside and raffle them off to one lucky winner. And somehow I took them out of the trunk and I was walking into the building, holding them, pulling them through the door. Mm-hmm. And when I showed up inside the door, my friend there was helping me set up, and I looked down and the balloons were gone. They had vanished, even though I physically experienced pulling them through the door. And I said to her, I said, did you see me bring balloons in here? And she said, no. And somehow I think they got sucked up. They vanished. I ran out. They were gone. I mean, I know the wind could have carried them. I understand there's 3D reasons how this could have happened, people. But I'm just saying, I feel like they were some kind of offering, like you'd make an offering to the Buddha or something. Mm-hmm. I was offering it to Valentine's Day, to love, to friendship, to dead people. I don't know. I just wanted to see what you thought of it. It was so weird. I mean, I know I'm sometimes dingy, but I had lots of friends come the other day, some who have known me for 30 or more years. And even they admitted, I said, now you have to admit, I am more grounded than I used to be when I was younger. And they were like, oh, yes. And I'm saying, I know I'm a dingbat, people, but I know, I mean, I'm talking about like 10 balloons. Okay, this was huge. This would have taken up the whole car, which is pretty much what it did. You think I can just lose that accidentally? I thought they vanished into thin air, into the universe, Wendy.
Yeah, okay.
Crazy.
What I'm saying is you shifted. Basically, you went into another timeline. You upgraded. And so from that timeline, the place, the person that you were, you graduated. You've done that. Been there, done that. This is a whole new ball game. You just upgraded.
Yeah.
But this is the only way to make it, to give you a bookmark to say, watch, pay attention, tune in. Because they gave you, that's a huge bookmark, but it's love. It's love, the Valentine's. It's a gift. It's a gift of love. And so there it is. But it's the gift of love to yourself to say, oh, I passed my course. I passed my challenge. Next. Okay. Yeah, you got the PhD, which you certainly do, but you're going to get more. And that's what, to me, that's what that represents, is that you crossed another hurdle. And so now this next arena is a whole new ballgame. But you bring all of those things that you perfected, all of those things that you worked on, that you really fine-tuned, those are your gifts that you're bringing forward. And he's got your back.
The other thing is, prior to arriving at the book launch, you know, I am always looking for the next thing, or I always feel like I need to write another book, or there's more to say. There's never, you know, a slowing down. I think this happens with a lot of people, this constant striving or something. There was just a deep feeling of complete gratitude that I have for all the people who have supported my books and things over the years. And this is the feeling about, I feel like I'm there now, or wherever it is I thought I needed to arrive to. You finally have to come to the place where this moment is good. And ever since I got out of that monastery, I've been able to experience deeper feelings of just being in the moment. You know, I don't know what I'm doing this afternoon because I'm just right here, right now. And so there was just a profound feeling of gratitude. And so I guess that was my graduation ceremony. You know how they toss the caps into the air?
Yes.
I felt the same. And it was, I just want to say, I'm just so grateful to everybody who supported my work over the years. And the reason why I do it is I just pray to God that it's helping people, you know.
And that's what the answer is.
For all.
That's the answer. Okay. That's where that is. It's just like you finally achieved a level where you can be comfortable and confident and content that what you have to say is valuable and it is working and it is helping. That's the answer right there, is that yes, it is. And there's something that comes from that when you finally relax and say, this is what it is, and I'm okay with that. This is what I say.
Yes.
And you're complete in your knowing that, all right, it may not be what everybody else says. And that's the point. It doesn't have to be. It shouldn't be. It has to be
right.
Yours. So I think that's what that is, you know, that whole thing, when you cross that hurdle, that boundary, that platform, that line, that finish line of, and that doesn't mean you're done, but it means you're at a point where what I got to say, I'm proud of, and this is my message, and this is why I am here. And it's saying you have arrived. So welcome, welcome, and carry on. All right. Now we got to go. Hey, Shelley, thank you. PastLifeLady.com. That's the website. 30 seconds. What you got?
Looking forward to my next book release in May, Past Life with Pets. I'm going to Egypt with the Edgar Casey Foundation in March. We'll talk about that next time, I'm sure. And
okay.
Just having the journey continues, my friend, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And for listening, again, Wendy's Coffee House, I'll put some, I already have some, but I'll put some more little links up there too, about some of the stuff we've talked about too, but whatever you're doing, keep an open mind. Remember, you are creating this reality. If you heard something in this that matters to you, take it forward, expand on it, share it, whatever you've got, give. You are here for a reason. And thanks for listening. See ya.